I'm Marcus Smith, and this is Constant Wonder. This month, with Christmas drawing near, join me on a journey called Advent. Constant Wonder is marking this venerable tradition, a calendar of hopeful anticipation, with daily short episodes, a new Advent experience every day, all the way through the 25th. Together with special guests, we're seeking out the wonder and awe felt by so many people during this season of hope, reverence, peace, and goodwill. It's December 6th. In this Advent series, you'll hear about a lot of different ways to celebrate our eager anticipation of the return of light after the solstice. Natural light, of course, and for Christians, the annual commemoration of the birth of the light that is Jesus. We came across one family that has a truly lovely Advent practice, and it just couldn't be more perfect for a podcast that's dedicated to the quest for awe and wonder in all creation, human and wild.
Once you have the whole table built, you can see how everything works together to make this masterpiece, basically, that is God's creation.
Kelly Wilson shares a delightful tradition on her website, Around the Year, A Journey Through the Seasons of Nature and the Christian Year. Now, many people light Advent candles, often as part of an Advent wreath, one each Sunday preceding Christmas. And this is often said to be in honor of the four traditional themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. Well, in the Wilson home, they light a new candle each Advent Sunday in connection with the four elemental aspects of creation. The first Sunday's candle is for the rocks, terra firma, the minerals of the land and seas. Second, the plants. Third, the animals. And fourth, humankind.
The mineral kingdom has existence. You know, minerals exist. That's about as much as they do. Plants live and grow. Animals feel and move. And man alone has the power to think, will, and seek the true good and beautiful, which is God. Because humans, we're not just an amalgam of all of those things, but we do share those characteristics. The human body is made up of elements. We live and grow just like plants. We feel and move like animals. And then we alone have these other capacities. But what I find so interesting is that all of this hierarchical structure points to the idea that there's something above us, and that would be the kingdom of the Spirit, or God's kingdom.
It's well known that the name Emmanuel means God with us, and because you just mentioned a hierarchy that ends with God situated above stone, plants, animals, and humans, well, my thoughts right away went to the long-standing Christian view that Jesus was the creator before coming down, before living on earth in the flesh as Emmanuel, God with us, as I said. So this sequence of creations, Kelly, leading up to a culmination with the Creator, that all fits very nicely together, and you have written about related ideas, some of them very old, going back all the way to Thomas Aquinas, and you write about a 20th century Catholic bishop, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, who also engaged with this sort of ancient philosophy. It's not really close at all to the way we generally think about the natural world today. Can you give us some sense for how these thinkers describe this hierarchy? It's kind of a ladder that allows for upward and downward movement from one realm to the next.
So a lower level of the hierarchy could participate in a higher level. For instance, the elements can participate in the plant kingdom by being taken up into the plant, or the plant can participate in the animal kingdom by being taken up by an animal. You know, an animal eats the grass is part of the animal. And the animal can participate in the human kingdom by we consume animals. That points to how can we participate in the next level up? How can we participate in the kingdom of the Spirit? How can we participate in God's kingdom? Bishop Fulton Sheen says, well, God has to come down to us. And it's a little bit different because unlike animals that consume plants, the plant doesn't have a say in it. The plant is just consumed. But we have free will as human beings, so we have to consent to God coming down and taking us up into the kingdom or to being part of his kingdom. That's a really interesting thing to think about, especially during the Advent season, because God is coming down. That is what happens at Christmas. God came down. God comes down to us.
During Advent, as Kelly with her family marks the passage of 4 weeks using four candles following a convention from Europe, there's a rather unique twist for this practice with what she calls a nature table. It's a tabletop display featuring those candles, of course, but more. It's decorated almost like a miniature panorama with a silky or velvety backdrop, little figurines are incorporated, and other decorations.
The way that I like to set it up is I add elements to the scene every week. So we start out with Mary on a donkey, and the first week is the Light of Stones, which is really just the Mineral Kingdom, the elements, you know, all the inorganic, I guess, things. She's on the donkey, and I start out by placing crystals and seashells and things on the nature table. And then we enter in the second week, the Kingdom of Plants, so I add plant elements. I might have little pieces of fir tree branches or something. The third week is the Kingdom of Animals, so I add those aspects of the nativity scene. I add the animals that are part of a normal nativity. And then the final fourth week, we have everyone else in place, all the shepherds and everything else. They're the human kingdom. And then they're just waiting for Jesus to come down.
Now, Kelly Wilson didn't come up with this tradition of a nativity combined with a nature table all on her own. There's a chance it actually sounds familiar to you. She picked it up when her daughter, who is now in college, was attending a Waldorf nursery kindergarten. In fact, the nature table is used year-round in Waldorf schools and in the Wilson home.
I'm fortunate to live in an area that is absolutely beautiful. It's a small town in New Hampshire, and we have lots of trails and other opportunities to just be out there. And I know when I haven't gotten my nature quota for a while because I can just feel it. I'm like, okay, I got to go take a walk.
And she frequently brings something back from those walks for her nature table, which unsurprisingly changes with the seasons of the year.
It's just a place where I can set up a little display where I have things that we might have found on our walks or just elements from nature that we find as we're out and about.
Cycling each year through every season allows for more types of figurines than just the expected Christmas lineup. Sheep, camels, a donkey. Each month might have a specific theme. For example,
October is more just a generalized fall scene where I made some little felt animals like squirrels and hedgehogs and things. These are more whimsical items, and it's just been fun over the years to craft them and pull them together. It's like creating a little world.
Kelly shared with me how she has used this ever-changing little world, refreshed season by season, to teach her children about stewardship and care for creation.
Especially when my children were little, it gave me a way to make my faith accessible to them and open the door for them as well, because children don't necessarily always want to sit through a religious lesson. But the nature table is something fun to look at. It's something fun for them to help build. You take fall leaves and you can dip them in wax, and that preserves their color, or just anything that you might pick up while you're on a walk in the woods. And we would put them on the nature table when we got back. And it gave me a way to introduce the faith to them. It was full of awe and wonder, because that's how children operate. They operate from that place. They're already there. They're primed for awe and wonder. They don't have any kind of cynicism or disregard for the world. Everything is new. Everything is amazing. It's the most wonderful part about being a parent, is being able to experience the world through their eyes to some degree and say, oh, these things that I had just taken for granted all this time are so amazing to them.
This practice also helps Kelly herself maintain her own healthy perspective on our place in the cosmos.
When I go outside at night and I look up at the stars, it's so immense and it's so almost inconceivable because it's so vast. And the nature table really helps me to, I guess, make it smaller, more digestible, something I can think about.
It might sound a little like Kelly Wilson has always been a religious person, but actually, she wasn't always firm in her faith. In fact, it was during those years when her daughter was at the Waldorf school that Kelly returned to church after some years away. Waldorf schools emphasize experiential learning and creative thinking, fostering activities that get kids away from their desks. Now, if you've heard or read much about Rudolf Steiner, the eccentric philosopher and spiritualist behind the Waldorf schools, you could be tempted to think that he was far closer to being a Druid than a Christian. But Kelly made a connection to herself between how these schools marked the passage of the seasons and her own previous Christian experience. And there is historical overlap in all of this as well. The seasonal festivals that Kelly's daughter was celebrating at her school in many ways were reflections of celebrations in the ancient Christian church. There was some familiar or common root.
At the Waldorf School, they also hold on to some of these older, I would say they're kind of European in origin, traditions around some of the festivals that the church in America has not necessarily held on to as strongly. The Waldorf schools do them, and they do them in a more secular manner because a lot of their students are not Christian, but they do them as a school community. So that was when I first learned about St. Michael's Day, Martinmas. They have different traditions for each of these. When I encountered these things as my daughter was in the school, it was like a light was being shown on everything. I didn't know there was such a rich culture around Christianity. I knew about the theology in some sense as a layperson. I understand what my faith believes, but I did not know anything that there was actually all this huge cultural magnificent thing that I just never had experienced. So when she was there, I had sort of lapsed as a Christian. I was not attending church. I was not really practicing my faith at all. Those feasts and festivals gave me a doorway to re-enter my faith from a different angle.
Martinmas, a feast in the liturgical calendar that comes right before Advent, also employs light as a symbol. It piqued my interest when I saw Martinmas explained on Kelly's website, so I asked her who this Saint Martin was.
His story is that he saw a beggar sitting outside the city walls, and he decided to share part of his cloak with him to keep him from being cold. And then that night he had a dream, and Christ was wearing the part of his cloak. The Martinmas celebrations, or Saint Martin's Day, one of the traditions that goes around it is the lantern walk. You can have children make the lantern. We made ours out of like glass jars, and they have a candle inside, and you can do some decorating of the outside, and you can take a walk with it through the dark, and it helps children to connect with sort of their inner light, which I see as like the light of Christ. But, you know, you could have a different paradigm if you're not a Christian. A lot of these late fall, winter festivals are centered around light, as we're losing light, especially in the Northern Hemisphere here. Up in New Hampshire, we're losing a lot of light. And I feel that that element of it, you're weaving together, in a religious sense, the light of Christ, but also the solstice, the winter solstice is coming up. It's all kind of one thing.
Kelly Wilson's children? Well, they aren't little children anymore. But the nature table tradition is still going strong.
It's a practice that I do to keep myself connected with where we are in the cycle of the seasons, where we are in the church year. I think in modern life, we tend to get very distracted and we kind of drift off. And time passes and maybe we didn't notice it was passing and we don't know where we're at and we just feel adrift. And so these little practices are ways to come back and reconnect with the natural world, reconnect with ourselves, reconnect with God, the whole package.
Many thanks to Kelly Wilson for visiting with us. You can find her website by searching for Around the Year, A Journey Through the Seasons of Nature and the Christian Year. If you've missed any previous installments in our Advent series, be sure to visit Constant Wonder's website at byuradio.org/constantwonder. Or you can find our episodes on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tenere Taylor produced today's installment with help from Mamie Teeples, and sound design was by James Call. Tomorrow, meet the former national commander of the Salvation Army. He has some wisdom to share about the contagiousness of generosity. Some of that wisdom coming from having volunteered standing next to a Salvation Army kettle and ringing a bell at Christmas time. I'm Marcus Smith. Constant Wonder is a production of BYU Radio.